On Point Veterans Talk Radio here at 89.9 FM KGPR, your local and independent voice in Great Falls and North Central Montana. This is Rich Liebert, U.S. Army retired, and I'd like to give a quick shout out to our great underwriters. You can visit them on our website, such as Celtic Cowboy, Keller Geist, National State Parks, actually. I wish we had the National Parks, and many other fine underwriters. And we're going to talk about a few more we're going to add here. In the studio today, I have a fellow Army veteran, maintenance expert, Shannon Wilson. Welcome, Shannon.
Thanks, Rich.
So this is the first time you're in our studios today?
Yes.
Okay, but I understand you've had radio experience too, or...
Oh, yes.
Don't be shy.
Back when I was at Montana Tech, back in the early 90s, that was my fun time, being a DJ for the college radio station. I did that for 3 years.
Well, we're glad to have you, and I'm breaking news. Shannon's going to be doing a show on Friday night called...
Celtic Falls.
But we're going to get more into that, but I want to get to your Army experience. That's where we relate to each other, because I believe you're in the Legion also.
Oh, yes.
American Legion, what, Post 341?
Nope, Post 3 downtown.
Post 3, oh.
Yes.
I'm in your post, but I rarely get to the meetings because I go to so many other meetings like yourself.
Sure.
So did you go to school in Butte first after the Army or before the Army?
After the Army. That's one of the reasons I went into the Army was for the Army College Fund. I went in and got the Army College Fund, and then I re-enlisted once because they had too good of a re-enlistment bonus to resist. So I got myself a four-wheel drive pickup and stayed another 4 years. So
that was the Army of the 80s, right?
Or
the
yes.
90s? Be all you can be?
Yes.
Remember that? Yeah, I remember it very well. First Sergeant, what are we doing today? Well, we're doing more before 9 o'clock than all the other civilians do all day.
And that was true.
No, that is true. I reflect on my Army experience. So what? How did you? Well, obviously, you're talking about what motivated you or drew you to the Army because of the GI Bill or the GI Bill, I guess.
Yes.
Because sometimes they have supplements to that. So, other than that, what else attracted you to Uncle Sam's service?
Well, I was impressed by all the opportunities that you could get in the Army. There was many different fields I could have went into. The field I decided to go into did offer the Army College Fund, so I became a heavy wheel vehicle mechanic. And it was very interesting. I worked on vehicles that were 10 tons and above, and actually those vehicles are easier to work on than the smaller vehicles.
Why is that?
Well, the systems are simpler. And if I had to do work, I had breaker bars, were my best friend to use for leverage, and I had no problems working on vehicles that were 10 tons and up. So
now where'd you do basic and AIT at?
I did basic at Fort McClellan, Alabama, and, that isn't an active, post anymore. My AIT was done at Fort Jackson. And I was the first female distinguished honor grad they had in the school for heavy wheel vehicle mechanics.
That's well done. So you were a pioneer there, huh?
Yes. There was 500 guys and 3 females in the school.
Oh, no.
And they'd never had a female distinguished honor grad before.
Well, that's tremendous. And now we have women graduating from Ranger School now.
Yes.
Which is I've been through Ranger School. I didn't earn the tab, but I struggled through it, but it is prestigious, and there are women serving in the infantry. But back in the 80s, you know, it's you're cutting a path. Well, women, they don't do maintenance. You're going to do admin, right?
My first post at Fort Riley, they didn't want to put me in the motor pool. It was an engineering battalion, and they kept me in the office as office clerk. And thank goodness Sergeant Daisy came up to the first sergeant and said, this girl wants to be down at the motor pool. Why don't you let her? And they finally let me go after about 6 months down to the motor pool, and I excelled there. Went up in rank pretty fast. I did my job, and I wasn't company clerk anymore.
Mm-hmm. So where'd you go to MEPS to start the process?
Well, I was in Las Vegas at the time. I'd moved down to Las Vegas for a while, and my aunt lived down there. And they didn't have a MEP station in Las Vegas. They flew us down to Phoenix. So we stayed in this little remote hotel when we went to the MEP station. And it's the same hotel that's in the Chevy Chase vacation. That same hotel. And I had gone in and had a drink at that same bar where he was with Christie Brinkley. And so it was pretty weird to see that in the movie. It's like,
well,
I'll
think about that, too, when I watch it again or something. That reminds me, I was in Chicago or Joliet or something with remember the movie Blues Brothers?
Yes.
I stayed in the motel they were in. So that's an interesting coincidence. So explain to the listeners out there what a MEPS is.
That's where you start the process to the military. You do the military tests. You do the physical tests. Like I had to do a test where I could show I could lift up to 70 pounds. And they did a physical, did stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. So it's important to keep all those records, too.
Yeah.
Because over your time in the service. So when you were at Fort Riley, was that with a core unit or the 1st Infantry Division?
It was a non-divisional unit on the 1st Infantry Division's post. So we just supported the 1st Infantry Division.
Mm-hmm. So what are some other Army installations you were at?
I was with the 60th Transportation Company in Camp Humphreys, Korea.
Ah.
And our battalion serviced all of Korea with transportation needs, hauling freight around the company. We had 60 GIs in my unit and 100 Katusas, which were Korean soldiers attached to the Army. So typically when a truck went out, a semi with a trailer, one GI went with it and one Katusa went with it, so that there would be no problems when they're out on the roads in Korea. And on the weekends, since I was a mechanic, I didn't get out much, but on the weekends I would offer to drive the ALOC loads coming into Osan Air Base so that I would have a chance to drive tractor-trailer. And the GIs, whoever was assigned to drive that weekend, would go, great, okay, you can take my route. So I'd drive for them, and the Katusas loved it because they knew I would want to drive the whole way, and they could sleep.
Ah.
So everybody loved it when I drove ALOC loads on the weekends out of Osan Air Base.
Yeah, Katusa is a term that's been around since the Korean War. Since the Korean War started June 25th, 1950, and we barely held on to fight and defeat the communists, or at least hold them to the 38th parallel. Mm-hmm. But I've been to Korea 5 times, just TDY, not PCS. Mm-hmm. Were you there like a year?
Yeah, I was there a year.
Standard tour, so.
Yeah.
But I know the Katusas, those are highly prized positions.
Yes.
Because if they screw up, know where they go?
They go back to the Korean Army.
Back to the Rock Army.
Yes.
And the discipline there is more severe.
Yeah. They had a pretty good life within the Katusa ranks.
So they played it straight with you, right?
Oh, yeah. And I made great friends with the Katusas there. They were all bringing me going away gifts when I left, and were really sad to see me go. And that's really heart-touching.
Get acclimated to Korean food?
I did, because I didn't like the chow hall food for dinner.
Oh, no.
Breakfast was good, but I'd go down to the Ville and have a 1,000 won bill and wave it to Mama-san and say, dinner.
Uh-huh.
And she'd bring me something for dinner for 1,000 won. So
everybody knows what kimchi is, I think, right?
Yeah. I'm not a kimchi fan.
I never got, but bulgogi is pretty good.
Bulgogi is great.
Right.
Yeah.
I think we even have a Korean restaurant in Great Falls now. On Central West.
Yep.
Where Old Lippies is. So.
Yep.
So your listeners out there, check that out. So. So I think, were you ever at Camp Casey?
I went to Camp Casey often on the weekends with the tractor trailers.
Yeah, yep. It's a 2nd Infantry Division. And then there's Weijambu,
mm-hmm.
Yongsan Army Garrison. You probably went to all those places.
I did go quite a few places. And then during the week, I also drove a wrecker. If I'd have wrecker duty, we had two wreckers. The one I drove was the Happy Hooker.
So that could be problematic when a woman's driving it.
But you know, there you never saw women driving over there. I saw one woman driving once, and Korean gentlemen would come up to me up to the truck and hand me driving gloves and stuff, and were very nice and impressed that I was driving a big truck. So It was pretty cool.
Now, where else did you serve in the Army overseas? How about Europe?
Well, I had orders to go to K-Town in Germany, but then Desert Storm happened, so they stopped all the orders and did some reallocating. Then they proceeded to take about half of my shop out to fill into slots that were going into Kuwait and
Iraq. So they
Iraq
deploy you
stuff.
On those? Or?
No, I never did deploy. One of the guys in my shop was managed to be like the last person that PCS'd out of, or ETS'd out of Fort Drum. And they called him right back in the Reserve Army, sent him in to Kuwait, I believe, or no, Iraq, with a reserve unit out of Pennsylvania. And their unit was hit with a Scud missile, and he passed.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah.
It was a kind of a freak accident. I mean, unusual they were hit.
So. And he was so relieved to be getting out of the Army at the time, and because he had one toddler and one on the way, and they left, and he was going, I'm going home, and then got called right back into the Reserve Army. And
you were serving at Fort Drum then?
I was at Fort Drum.
Home of the 10th Mountain Division, right?
Yes, I was in the divisional
unit.
Did you
wear that patch?
I did.
So were you in the Division Maintenance Battalion? Or?
I was in the Division Maintenance Battalion. I was there for 5 years.
Wow.
So
was that your last duty station?
It was. They tried to snag me into drill sergeant school before I left, but I wanted to get out, and I had plans to go to college. So
good. Well, you had a plan. So yeah. I tell everybody, have a plan in 5 years where you want to be.
Yeah.
So what was your last duty assignment, the motor sergeant or the?
I was. When I first got to Fort Drum, I was an E4, and I managed to make my E6, and was motor sergeant of half the battalion motor pool. There was another E6 that handled the major repair work, and I handled the service work and scheduled work on my side of the motor pool.
Yeah, you're giving me visions of Army maintenance again when I was in the motor pools at 2404s, right?
Yes.
2406 readiness reports, TAM. Remember TAMs?
Yes. Oh,
TAMs
yeah.
TAMs clerks.
Been to that school. Been to a lot of those maintenance schools.
Right. So, and maintenance is essential. I mean, if you look what's happening in current events, Ukraine.
Yes.
Yeah. A lot of that heavy equipment that the Russian pushed out, they didn't maintain it.
Yeah.
If even simple things like tires, you probably know that.
Oh, yeah.
If they don't move, they get weather checked, and what happens?
Exactly. They crack up and they're toast.
Right. And then with the certain levels of corruption in the Russian army and so forth, they didn't do proper maintenance and so forth. That's probably what really impacted them, no logistics or very poor logistics.
And it was pretty unusual at Fort Drum compared to anywhere else I was at. Fort Drum was a cold weather training unit for the United States Army. So we only went to the field in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it'd be, it snowed 300 inches a year there. Lots of cold weather. One night we had a forklift that just wouldn't start at one of the units, and I sent the guys home. I said, you know, I'll work on it for a while because I was worried about them getting frostbite and stuff. So I spent a few nights out there when it was pretty cold working on stuff.
So especially diesel equipment, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I know what it's like. I'm a rancher, so I'm trying to keep stuff working in the winter below zero. And I've been to Fort Drum, too, when I was in the Rainbow Division, the 42nd. That was our annual training site. Not in the winter, just in the summer, and it was nice, and we did river crossings up there. So I think the closest town was Watertown?
Yes, Watertown.
Okay. I think everybody up there knows that. So you went from Fort Drum to Montana, right?
Yes, I left the Army and came back home to Butte to, home's Great Falls, but I went to Butte for Montana Tech to get my engineering degrees.
Sal, when you say Great Falls is home, is it the Great Falls area or?
Yes, I lived in Fort Benton when I was a little girl. We had a ranch out on the Shonkin Creek, and we moved to Great Falls when I was in third grade and lived in Great Falls since, and been back and forth to Fort Benton a couple of times. But, I'm from here.
Oh, I mean, which school? Bison or Rustler?
I should have been a Rustler because I went to both North Junior High and West Junior High, but I ended up going to Great Falls High to graduate. So
it makes you a Bison then.
I know everybody everywhere.
Okay, well, I'm sure. Well, this is your hometown, so
yes.
You're happy to be here. So, and Fort Benton's a great place too. So,
oh yeah, it's great. I loved growing up there. I have lifelong friends from there.
Obviously, what did you study for in Butte?
Well, I'd always wanted to go into some field of engineering. And just from the education I got in the Great Falls schools and their focus on various environmental aspects of what was happening with the area, with our world, I wanted to go into environmental engineering. So I did environmental engineering, and that's a pretty wide field. So for my master's degree, I did metallurgical engineering because I wanted to not dig more holes in the ground. Most of my career, I focused on reclaiming metals of value from industrial waste.
Well, that's certainly essential.
Yes.
I mean, recycling, it's done more overseas, and Americans, we just kind of maybe not don't have the right focus on it. So where'd you take all this knowledge? And did you go to Indiana, I think you told me, or?
Yes, I did some groundwater geotechnical work when I was in North Carolina after I left. I started working on my PhD down at University of Missouri-Rolla, and I only stuck around for a year, and I'm glad I left because my replacement and my major professor died of the same rare stomach cancer a year or two later. I was working on uranium ore.
Oh, my.
And with and iron contamination in it, and I just didn't like their facilities as much as I did Montana Tech. And so I gave up my scholarship and went to work in North Carolina on groundwater problems.
Mm-hmm. So, but you tell me you went to Indiana too, right?
I did. I stayed in North Carolina for about a year or two, and then I went to Indiana. I got a great opportunity to work with a research group that's actually the parent company of Calumet.
Yeah, so the circle turns here.
Yep.
And Calumet just recently got they did a refinery upgrade, so now they can make sustainable diesel fuel.
Yep.
And use it for aviation, I think.
The family that owns that group of companies, is very environmentally aware and responsible for responsibility for issues like that.
Mm-hmm. So, how did you actually land back in Great Falls? Is that I want to come home, right? I want to come home and do something. Huh?
Actually, I had an accident and I ended up in a wheelchair for 2 years.
Oh my!
And I couldn't do my job anymore. I built pilot plants and did bench scale testing as an engineer, and I couldn't do my job anymore. So, once I finally got out of the wheelchair after 2 years, I just decided, well, I'm going to go back home and chill.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I did.
Well, I know you're hardly chilling. You're very active in the community, Shannon. I know that's great. I mean, you're a citizen soldier. You're active, very active in civics. Neighborhood council, you're an elected official.
Yes.
Neighborhood council, which one?
Neighborhood council 9.
Mm-hmm.
I've been appointed to the city's Park and Recreation Board, Advisory Board. Let me see, what else? And then I'm with several different groups.
Oh, I know you, Citizens for Clean Energy.
Great Falls Rising.
Right.
And then the VFW and American Legion.
Which post is Black Eagle Post? That's
4669 in Black Eagle. I'm their post adjutant.
Oh, boy, with Frank Tuss over there.
Yes.
And you know another good friend of ours, Dennis Burns.
Of course, yes.
Of course. And then that's something else what we're working on is we're trying to get a veteran's home in north central Montana, right?
Yes. There's almost 100,000 veterans in Montana, and a good over 30,000 veterans are just here in central Montana. And you've got a veteran's a home in Columbia Falls, in Butte, and then way out in eastern Montana. And it makes it very hard if a veteran is placed in one of those homes for their family to visit them. It's a long ways to travel, and we really do need a veteran's home here in central Montana.
Well, you'd think that we would have done it a long time ago, and Butte got ahead of us? I mean,
yeah, amazing.
I mean, you lived in Butte. Butte has a certain community pride, don't they?
Exactly. They work for things that they want, and they get things done, and we're doing it here.
Right. Well, I know in the legislature, as we speak today, I think House Bill 264 passed out of committee. That's at least start a study so we can get all the data about veterans' needs, home care, facility care, things like that. So stay in touch with your veteran service groups, and we'll keep on it because we got to get this done now, because in 2 years when the legislature comes back, then we got to get a money bill.
Yes.
And start the place to find a place to put it up, and then how to fund it and staff it. There's a lot of questions to be done, but I'm certain we can get it done.
Sure. We're already thinking on those issues.
So I want to go back to your time in the service. So when you started in the service, you went into a non-traditional field for women, so to speak.
Very non-traditional. 500 guys in my school and 3 females. And the other 2 females were prior service, so they made them become mechanics to come back in.
Really?
Yes. One was a pole climber, 31 Charlie.
Mm-hmm.
And they said...
That's Como back then.
Yeah. If you want to come back in the Army, you have to be a heavy wheel mechanic. So she said, okay. So I chose it. So
there was a sense of instructors looking down on you, trying to test you, see if you could, you know the difference between a wrench and a hammer, Shannon, you know?
Absolutely not. I was very, very lucky to have supportive drill sergeants there at AIT. I was very lucky. Later on in my career, when I became a sergeant and staff sergeant, I didn't have a very good leadership at the very top.
Right.
Master sergeant, chief master sergeant.
I guess they were set in their old ways.
Yes. It was tough sometimes, but that was rare. That was rare.
Mm-hmm. And, they say the staff sergeants and captains are the workhorses of the Army. I think that's very true. I mean, if you think about, because staff sergeants and captains can be given so many different duties. Like a staff sergeant can be a platoon sergeant, motor sergeant, acting platoon sergeant. Many have been.
Yeah.
In terms of what you and you're at the age, I think you have the brains, the heart, and the muscles to put it all together.
Yeah.
And just like young captains are like project officers, company commanders, and staff sergeants can lead squads. They can do the maintenance for a whole company.
Yeah.
So I believe that's true. So
yep.
That's an accomplishment to get the staff sergeant. So
I was very lucky because the Army was trying to get people out. We're giving them incentives to get out of the Army and reducing the force. And
the big peace drawdown, right? The big peace dividend. Yeah.
Yeah. And when I made it, I was in the secondary zone, they call it. And I got the Army Times and I looked at it and they picked up one person for staff sergeant and that was me. And they just dipped down to the points that I had. And I think they had designs on me because 2 months later I came up with drill sergeant orders.
Okay.
They had designs on me. But
Well, you did your time for Uncle Sam. You made a staff sergeant, which is impressive. So
yeah, with 1 year and 6 days left in service, so I just barely had enough time to pin it on.
Okay, well, you got it done. So
yeah.
So how did you get along with the officers?
Great. I had great support from my officers. Never a problem. I was very lucky, very lucky with the colonels, the lieutenant colonels that I worked for, the captains, very lucky through my career.
I'm sure they appreciated your work ethic and professionalism.
They seem to appreciate me, yes.
Sergeant Wilson, what's our OR rate? Well, you remember what that is,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah.
OR rates can strike fear into any commander out there. Operational readiness rates. I mean, I remember one time in a motor pool, they have like a no-notice alert. This is in Germany. I was a young lieutenant. And that means everything has to roll out of the motor pool. Everything. And anything that's left behind, this is like 1980, it's a bad indicator of your maintenance.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So this is like a no-notice alert. Everything comes out. We want to make sure it runs. and the craftier motor sergeants or motor officers, they get the tow bars. You know where I'm going with this, Shannon.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, everything's good. Yeah, we're going to our logger
shop. Everything is good. Mm-hmm. Yep.
But then they'll go down and look at the oil stains or things like that. But in mechanized units that I was in, maintenance is essential.
And yep.
I was in the 163rd Infantry. We went from M113s. Tracks to Bradley's. So you have to have a lot of intense maintenance. You're checking everything.
Yes.
Especially tracks. That's not easy to work on.
And I always had a great crew working for me. They had great respect for me, so I was very lucky.
Mm-hmm. So I know you've done a lot of things with the VA. How's the VA treated you, and how did you come to sign into the VA?
Well, when I came back to Montana, my friend said that, aren't you signed up for the VA healthcare system? I was like, no, I'm not. I haven't even thought about it, because I'd always had great healthcare for folks I'd worked for before. So he said, well, you need to sign up right away. So I did, and I've had great healthcare since, and thankfully, I had the best care when I had cancer 3 years ago. And I was amazingly, I was very sick. It was very aggressive cancer. And they just made sure that I had the best care. And I'm very thankful for that.
And all started where? Fort Harrison?
Yes.
And then you went to Utah and other places. Mm-hmm. I've seen your travels on Facebook, so I'm not going to get in depth, but I think that's for you veterans out there or family members of veterans out there, don't let your veteran in your family, your loved one, not sign into the VA. You're leaving money on the table if you're not doing it. And thousands, tens of thousands have not enrolled in the VA, which is unfortunate.
I think there's 42,000 that are signed into the VA healthcare system in Montana, and there's over 100,000 vets here.
So and some, like you said, well, I've got good healthcare, or I never had a line of duty injury. Well, it doesn't matter. Because I had prostate cancer. That wasn't line of duty for me. They replaced my knee 5 years ago, but they took that out. And so they provide a wide range of health resources.
Yes.
And obviously giving shots for COVID.
Yes.
I mean, doing clinics here coming up from Fort Harrison to keep us healthy.
Yep.
As we served our nation. So here in the KGPR world, you're going to become a radio host, right? Tell us about that.
I am. After 30 years of being on the radio at Montana Tech, I'm going to take another stab at it at KGPR. I'm going to be doing a Celtic music radio show on Friday nights, the second and fourth Friday from 8 to 10 p.m.
And it's going to be underwritten by our...
Ladies, Ancient Order of Hibernians, and the men's group, the Ancient Order of Hibernians, are both underwriting the program.
That's wonderful, and yes. I appreciate your efforts to get underwriters to help host your show. Mm-hmm. So, and when is it going to debut?
It debuts this Friday.
Right. Well, by the time we talk about it, you'll be on the air. So.
Yes.
and for folks out there, we're also streaming. I didn't do a station break. This is a KGPR 89.9 FM. We also do live streaming, and we have plenty of podcasts out there. So we want you to come and visit Shannon on Friday nights when she's doing Celtic Falls.
Yes.
So it'll be all things Celtic, and it's going to be a very interesting exploration. So any other words of wisdom or insights about local civics or words to our fellow veterans?
No, I just want to say thanks to KGPR for having a program for veterans and highlighting veterans' issues.
And this started with Roger McConnell. I don't know if you ever meet Roger.
No, I haven't.
We're walking in his footsteps. He's watching over us. And Joe Parsettich, you met Joe.
Yeah.
Joe's commander of the DAV.
Yeah.
So we're covering for Joe and in KGPR land here. And I'm also a lifetime member of the DAV, your VFW American Legion. And everybody out there, so if you're a family member, if you're just a civilian, you don't know any veterans, you can pass this information on to tell your local legislators, say, Great Falls, North Central Montana, we need a veterans home for our veterans. And because many other communities have it, but that's one thing you can help us do.
Yes, contact your representatives and let them know to support House Bill 264.
Right, and that's a study bill, but that is just the first step to actually getting a place built. And we don't know where it's going to be built, how large it's going to be, how it's staffed. I mean, it could be in Conrad, could be in Big Sandy, could be Great Falls, could be Cascade, who knows? But the point is to start it.
Yep.
So we're eager to hear you on the radio, Shannon. And thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Rich.
U.S. Army Veteran Maintenance Staff Sergeant Shannon Wilson. And this has been On Point Veterans Talk Radio. We'll see you in a couple weeks down the trail. Thanks very much to everybody. Support your veterans, and let's get a veterans home done for North Central Montana, please. Thank you.